B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, High Noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're out west in Ashburn, Virginia. Quick information, the kid, Nate Herbig, that retired, B, he also didn't play last season with a rotator cuff injury. So
okay.
My guess is that's injury-driven. Right now, we're going to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and we're going to NYC to talk to our boy, Barstool Nate. Nate Dog, what's happening, man?
Football season, let's go, guys. We finally have something to talk about again.
Dude, PFT and the Pardon My Take crew
were here.
Why didn't you come down?
I'm not a part of the Pardon My Take show. That's why I'm not there.
Yeah, but like, for a DC day, I thought maybe you'd make a move. You have become very New York snooty.
It's kind of a wuss.
You don't leave that little island very often.
I guess my invite got lost in the mail. I don't know. You'll
have his ankle braces don't let him leave New York.
I keep my head down. I do my job. Put my hard hat on. Clock in, clock out. I'm just doing my job the best I can.
All right. I don't want to start with the annoying stuff with you because I want to talk for a while. So, with you watching from afar, I know you're paying attention to all the coverage and everything. What are kind of your takeaways of this Commanders training camp so far?
So, if we're avoiding the big story, everything else seems to be going fine, right? It's quiet. It's knock on wood, injury free. Every clip is everybody getting along great. It's exactly where we want to be on July 29th, besides one glaring omission that we're not talking about quite yet. But besides that, it seems like everything's going very smoothly. It's almost too quiet in that weird way where we're still getting used to it. It's like, how come there's not, crazy things happening at camp? It's just business as usual. Pads are on. There's some guys that are making waves, like a Ja'Cory Brooks I'm very interested in. It's just the rookies getting their reps, especially the offensive line, just getting their reps in. Laremy Tunsil just looking like an absolute beast out there. And then just the younger guys, just trying to make the team. But you're not hearing anything bad about anybody, which I think is very impressive. I don't know if it's a shift in the landscape, a shift in the media, or if the players are just that good. But yeah, I'm very encouraged by camp so far.
Yeah, I think what it is like people are understanding right now. Like, it's hard to make those outlandish statements when you're watching guys practice in pads. I mean, not in pads per se. Yesterday pads. Most of them are non-pads. You can't really tell much about offensive linemen and defensive linemen when they don't have pads on. And I think more reporters are getting a little smarter with that. Some people still try, but most of them are smart.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So besides the Terry situation, it seems like all good things.
Yeah. I mean, the Terry situation is kind of the only lingering thing out here, right? I know you live on the internet. Yesterday, the Schefter report came out that perhaps – and Schefter, I think, was pretty clear about keeping it – he didn't report anything, but that Terry wants to make more than DK and maybe considerably more. Where are you at with this Terry situation? I mean, hell, he's here now. He's signing autographs. He's hanging out. How you feeling?
It's brutal, right? Because it's so obvious Terry wants to be on the field practicing with his guys playing. It's clear to me that his agent is telling him you can't be out there, like, we're gonna get you as much money as possible. I'm wondering, and this is all just my opinion and me guessing and conjecture or whatever, I'm wondering if Terry at some point is gonna be like, all right, agent, you're doing your best, let's get a deal done. Maybe I don't need $40 million a year. Maybe I'll survive on $33 million a year. He does the $33 million a year, 3-year deal, and he gets back on the practice field. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that both sides are playing hardball, and eventually, maybe August 3rd or something, they just sit down, meet in the middle, shake hands, and we get past this. I'm very much hoping. Terry has been nothing but great to this franchise, to the fans, to the community, to the team. We can talk about him forever, how he deserves a statue at the new stadium, etc. it's heartbreaking in a way that this is happening, because he's not, you know, he's Terry. He's not annoying. He's not problematic. He's not toxic. He's not any of that. He just, and his team, just want a new massive contract that, you know, wide receivers, like you mentioned, DK, have signed, and he wants that money. It's just, he's 2 years too late on it, age-wise, and I think that seems to be the big holdup, is he's going to be 30 years old next month, or in 2 months, and they don't want to give him, you know, $40 million a year over 4 years, so I get both sides. I get Terry deserves the money. I get Adam Peters being like, hey, we can't pay you top three wide receiver money. It's painful. It stinks. Terry obviously wants to be out there catching balls from Jaden. It's so clear that he wants to be. I think it still gets done. I think he's still, you know, out there playing week one for Washington. This is just painful to go through for everybody, for him, for us, the fans, for the front office. You know, they don't want this to be their reputation of not paying the cornerstone of the franchise. Every side of it stinks.
It is a tough
point there.
it is a tough spot, and you wonder how long they're going to kind of take it. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough because I've said this repeatedly to B. I don't want, like, I want Adam Peters to be data-driven and not emotional-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad Josh Harris isn't stepping in and saying, like, oh, get this done. I love this guy.
Can I just touch on that point? It's so funny. I love that point so much because for years, for decades, Dan Snyder meddling and giving guys ginormous deals, and we all hated it, right? We're like, get Snyder out of there. He shouldn't be giving contracts to, you know, he should let football people do football things. And now we're sitting here like, man, I kind of wish someone would just pay Terry the money. So it's very interesting and funny to me how all of a sudden a lot of us are like, oh, if only we had a guy who would pay him. But I'm with you. I like Adam Peters being the football guy, data-driven, analytics-driven. It's just at some point it's like Terry's different. He's not Albert Haynesworth, right? Like, Terry is Terry. The algorithm can't factor in Terry McLaurin. Like, he's special. He's unique. He's one of one to the fans, to the franchise, to everything. And I think that's very important. And maybe you do pay him a little more money because of that factor. I don't think you pay him top one wide receiver in the league money. I don't think you destroy the future of the organization to pay a 30-year-old wide receiver. But I think you can throw him a couple more nickels because of who he is. I truly think at the end of the day, the algorithms and all that don't keep into account Terry is Terry and he's different from everybody else.
Yeah, it doesn't show none of that. No, I think that's why, you know, if you are going to be 100% data-driven, and then they got to not say some things that they say, because the things that you promoted and you defined a commander by, 17 fits all of them.
Yeah,
and it makes people question, are you saying what you really mean?
Yeah, and I think Peters knows that, and he knows, like, people are going to look at this situation, you know, a pending free agent or whatever. Do they take care of their players in Washington? And I would say, without a doubt, yes. Like, 1,000,000,000%, this regime, you know, from the top down, takes care of the players, their families. They are spending money hand over fist to improve the facilities, the nutrition, mm-hmm. the training, everything. But all of that won't matter if this Terry situation is just completely botched. And I don't think they're botching it because of, you know, all these factors that we've talked about. But I don't. At some point, that might not matter to, you know, a free agent looking at, should I come to Washington or should I go somewhere else? They might be like, well, they wouldn't pay Terry. What makes, you know, me think they'll pay me? And that's what scares me, is as great as this entire organization is now, and, I mean, Harris is just digging into his pockets to upgrade everything he can at every given moment. I'm worried that might not matter.
Well, dude, one thing I wanted to actually tell you, because I feel like you kind of did really well with the blog, I think, when the rainwater spill happened at Northwest Stadium. I have a buddy that's been over there a bunch this off season, and he sent me a video of they're replacing all the piping at Northwest Stadium, and they're putting in PVC piping. And if you live in an old house, like this is replacing old metal pipes that rust and break and leak with PVC piping is the way like builders are doing everything now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But if you think about the organization is doing that for a place that if they get their way, and it looks right. like they're going to, they're only going to be in it for 5 more years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, one, maybe the maintenance is just so overdue they have to. But that, again, shows the commitment to doing things the right way.
Oh, they do it the right way.
They are spending money. They are spending money on what is basically a rental. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, and
I mean, but the thing about it is
remember,
like, if,
go ahead, D-Mitch.
Yeah, when you go into a college dorm room, you do stuff to it,
right.
knowing you're going to be leaving it soon, and it may not be yours next year. So,
yeah,
it's the same thing. You got, why are you there? You want it to look good.
Josh Harris is truly spending, as you said, on a rental, just unbelievable amounts of money. And I remember reading, you know, with the whole Capital One Arena renovation going on, just I remember reading about the elevators there. And, like, the elevators at Cap One are just super outdated. And it was, you know, high six figures just to replace the elevators in this arena. And now we're talking about a football stadium that is just falling apart, hanging on by a thread. Hopefully the vote goes through with ease. Is it this week? I guess, yeah. And, you know, they break ground on the new stadium soon. But Josh Harris gets that he has to give the fans and the players and everybody involved, you know, a reasonable place to play that Dan Snyder just let fall apart. And it's so commendable. And then so he does everything right, everything right, everything right. And he's letting the football people take care of the football. And we've been praying for that for ages. So we can't sit here and you know, complain about the Terry deal or the lack thereof because the football people are doing football things and we have, you know, a top three front office and GM in the entire league and we just have to trust them as painful as it is. Nobody wants to see 17 in another jersey. Nobody. Not a nope. single fan of this team wants that. But
totally.
And that's a big but. We have to trust Peters to do what's best for the future of the team. And it's so painful to think about that what if it's not in our best interest to pay him what he wants? What if his team truly, Terry's team, truly does not budge from their demands and there's an offer, you know, for a trade somewhere else? It's disgusting to think about, but we've prayed for times like these, meaning we've prayed for a GM who focuses on football and isn't moved by emotion, and we have that now, so we can't be hypocrites all of a sudden. But man, does it suck!
Yeah,
right. Well, yeah, a lot of us have been the hypocrites because, like you just stated earlier, we asked for Dan to step out, but now we want somebody to step in.
It happens, and we just have to remember that. We have to remember how far we've come, D-Mitch. We don't want to go back to that. It's just so unfortunate. Terry is special and he's different and how much he means to everybody. If he was anybody, like almost literally anybody else, be like, all right, he wants 40 mil. He's not worth 40 mil. You know, have fun on the Steelers. Terry isn't anybody else. He's one of one. He's unique. He's special, et cetera, as I've said 100 times. So and he knows that, and that's his leverage. And that's so annoying if you're Adam Peters, because Adam Peters, at the end of the day, he knows that too.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in yep. the DMV. You can give Nate Dogg a follow at Barstool Nate. There was a story that I saw your tweet about that kind of made me aware of it because I just get in this like super training camp bubble here. Bryce Harper apparently got into a screaming match with MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred in the Phillies locker room, and it's all about what looks like a coming labor stoppage in baseball. What have you read? Where are you at on this baseball situation, Nate?
So, yeah, I talked to my baseball friends here, and they are very pessimistic about this entire situation. The baseball all of a sudden won in a salary cap, I think, is crazy. Yeah. I kind of like the Wild West. That, you know, if you're the New York Yankees or, you know, not the pathetic Yankees as they are now, but as we remember the Yankees, you spend money until the cows come home and you win World Series. I love the idea of baseball never having a salary cap. If anything, they need a salary floor. So pathetic teams like, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates spend money and are competitive and don't screw over their fan base year after year after year. The Marlins as well.
I love
Bryce yelling at Manfred to get out of his locker room. You know, Bryce is getting paid insane money to underdeliver in Philadelphia. Mind you, the Nats did win the World Series after letting him walk. People should never forget that. But I do side with Bryce on this. Don't come into my clubhouse talking about paying the players less. Like, you go march somewhere else, Rob Manfred. Get out of here.
What they've done, they have a commission of players now that they have called the CAP group. It's all former players now who's running in there telling these guys that they should accept a salary cap. And no, they never had to work under that same type of way. And I think that's what pissed the players off. That they find out, just like, imagine if me running into the locker room telling the guys, "Oh yeah, I mean y'all should lower this salary cap."
Nobody can imagine you running anywhere. We know that you're not running.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what's happening right now, and that's where Bryce was so pissed off at.
So the quote, the thing you tweeted that caught my eye. I don't know who wrote the story. I guess it's ESPN. Maybe it's passing. Quiet for the majority of the meeting. Harper, sitting in a chair and holding a bat, eventually grew frustrated and said if MLB were to propose a cap and hold firm to it, players are not scared to lose 162 games, sources in the meeting told ESPN. Harper then stood up, walked toward the middle of the room, faced up to Manfred, and said, "If you want to speak about that, you can get the bleep out of our clubhouse." This thing is...
Let me ask you a question. If a commissioner comes to a meeting, and they have been doing meetings that are less than 30 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, why the hell did he come there and waste your time? If he's not having a meeting for an hour, having a true situational and conversations, then it's a waste of time. He's coming in to tell you what he's going to do. Then I forgot the other guy's name. I was reading the article. The guy telling him, "Hey, man, you know he's a powerful guy. You don't need to talk to him like that." Like, it's a threat.
Yeah.
You know who else is pretty powerful? Bryce Harper. Like,
the baseball players.
Right. Like,
one thing we say, that they all make money. If they don't have a season, the owners ain't making money neither.
Well, my quote tweet, JP and B Mitch, was, "How do I buy Savannah banana stock right now?" Because if Bryce Harper is saying we're not scared to lose 162 games, you're going to be seeing a lot more of the freaking Savannah bananas during a full season lockout for Major League Baseball. For better or for worse, those guys are salivating at the idea of baseball missing a season, which obviously nobody wants. Savannah bananas or a lockout, but my baseball friends here at Barstool say this thing's gonna get a lot uglier until it gets better. They are not optimistic that a deal will get done if one side is salary cap and the other side is we will sit out an entire season if you even mention that word again. I don't think they're very close right now.
But this is my question: why is it always that owners always want players to help them protect them from themselves?
I think owners are freaked out by Cohen with the Mets. I think they're freaked out by this Juan Soto deal.
Okay, but the whole thing about it is they weren't freaked out by the damn Ohtani deal.
Right.
They weren't freaked out by the five people that signed over there, well over $1 billion up front. You know, those people signed. This is the owners that are doing this. The players aren't signing anybody to these contracts. So why is it always owners against players, but guess what? The players got to help you be smarter.
Won't you think about the billionaire owners, B. Mitch, and what they have to go through?
Hell no, ever.
I think he was joking.
I was joking.
I have a bunch of Nats fans mad at me because when they drafted the kid Willits first overall, I said, I wonder if money's involved here because Holiday went, and these guys are yelling at me, I don't understand the MLB draft, and it allows them to spend more money later, and I get that. But, like, they're running a cheap organization now. And Thomas Boswell, who just went into the Baseball Hall of Fame, shout out to Boz, wrote a story like 3 days later. Like, if the Nats aren't going to run a real operation, they need to sell the team. And I hate that that's where we're at, because Nats baseball, for that decade run, maybe it was like 6 years where they were seemingly in the playoffs every year or close to it, was so much fun. And now it's just not. And now it's like, Trade deadline's Thursday. What are they going to do? Are they going to actually entertain trading one of these young studs? Clearly not James Wood, but like a Gore or Abrams or something. And it just sucks being a have-not. We were a have-not for so long in football, and now it's a have city. That baseball team's a have-not.
Mm. Yeah, the baseball team situation has not improved at all, not even a little tiny bit. It's just getting worse. It's almost like someone sat down and was like, hey, this is how much money you make if you try to compete for World Series, and this is how much money you make if you sell all your players at their peak and you don't compete and you don't care at all about winning, and it was the exact same number. So, or maybe you just make more by not trying. It's crazy to me that you can be worth so much money and just, you know, like you have, it's an infinite money glitch. You own a baseball team. You have the TV money. Just go sign a couple good players and compete and maybe win a World Series. Like, you're not going to go from having $10 billion to your name to zero if you sign a couple middle relief pitchers. Like, it's just, go sign some players or don't own the team. I get some owners just look at teams as investments. It's just like, oh, we own a couple houses as investments. We have this boat as an investment, and we own a baseball team as an investment. I hate the way of thinking that. There's only 30 teams. You should run it, and you should try to win a World Series. You should care about everything, or you shouldn't own it. I understand business is business, blah, 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 blah. I just think that's corny and cheap, and I hate it.
Thank you, Nate Dogg. Appreciate the time.
All right, brother.
Hey, stay cool out there, and tell Jaden I say hello.
Will do. Our friend Barstool Nate joining us via the Rude
we
Guest
use that word
hotline.
Friend loosely.
give him a follow at Barstool Nate. When we come back, defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are in the NFC East. But who's the team to beat in the NFC East this year? Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, Bishop Philly, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. We're coming to you live from training camp. And everyone know that the Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl champs, defending Super Bowl champs, and they're coming back in the NFC East. And this team lost some players, but people still feel they're as good as they ever been. But there are people around the league who believe that they may not be the team to beat in the NFC. Are the Washington Commanders that? Let's take a listen to Derek Carr and what he thinks.
In your second year, you see the field so much better. And a lot of those things that I was concerned with the free rushers kind of getting a shot on Jaden, I don't think they happen this year. I think Cliff gets better. I think Jaden gets better. And maybe some of those close games that they had to win, they won't even be close this year.
Really?
That's what I think. I think that's how good this kid is. They're going to clean a lot of that stuff up.
Are you talking MVP consideration? That's the way you're sounding.
Well, he played like that at times last year. And so, I mean, now it's not like rookie of the year. It's can you be an MVP? I think with what they have around him, if they're able to just clean up and just make it a little bit easier for him, because he had to play hero ball. That's why I'm talking so glowingly about the kid, because he was making throws that you just shouldn't make. Honestly, like even a veteran quarterback would go into that meeting room the next day and tell Cliff Kingsbury, we're not doing this anymore. Jaden just covered it up. So hopefully he's gained a little bit of knowledge, Cliff's gained some knowledge, and they can clean some of that stuff up and make it easier for him because he'll play even better.
I agree, dude.
See that's and Derek Carr played in the NFL. Many people say, well, didn't have the greatest career, but I would say this. Players understand how that step goes. And I know when people look at it, listen, people get so caught up in a negative aspect of what goes on in this world today. So when people start talking about that sophomore jinx, you get a lot of people jumping on that. But there is that aspect where you see things clear in your second year. This kid saw stuff clear his first year. And he seems to be a different player. Nobody gives him credit for that. You know, and what I love so much about him, he doesn't seem to have changed at all when it comes to, like, what this game has given him and what he's become with it. He's not overwhelmed by the status of it. He still is working to become better at it. And that's very, very rare when it comes down to players in the league, especially at that position.
Totally agree, man. I don't get the, like, oh, Jaden will go backwards conversation. I think he's only going up, man.
Bro, we live in a hater population. People may rather talk negative about somebody. You know why? When someone does something well at a high level consistently, you know what that naturally does to you, even subconsciously? Puts pressure on you to try to become better. And how many people are really willing to dedicate their lives to become something and become better at something? You get what I'm saying? So Jaden Daniels make people that may not even be a football player, not a quarterback. He makes them feel like, oh, I'm not doing it. He makes them feel bad about themselves. And instead of going out there and working a little harder and investing a little bit more in what you do, you rather knock him to try to make him want to get off of his horse. He's not. So hate all you want. You got to deal with that dude.
I just think the level of play we saw Jaden at last year, none of it was fluky. You know, like, if you want to point to the Hail Mary or the doinked kick, like, I can get that. But what we saw on the field, how they practice end-of-game situations, the fact that they hired this dude Dave Gardy away from the league to run their late game stuff.
Yeah.
I also think, like, let's operate in a world where we assume Terry gets re-signed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their offense should be way better. You're adding Debo. You add Tunsil. I think Connerly could play and will play right away. Like, your line should be better. Maybe you got another back out there that gives you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. There are questions, and as far as the NFC East is concerned, I'm not naive enough to think Philly's not still the team.
But you know what happens? What happened normally historically when you start looking at the numbers as well? A team that played that well don't play well the next year.
Sure.
A running back that had that level of success and touched the ball that many times doesn't ever play that well the next year.
Like Saquon, you're saying.
Are people jumping on that? So it's like –
they lost a lot.
They lost people
lost
on top
OC.
Of it as well. So you wonder, will they be? And let's go with history again. Since I last played for the Eagles,
they haven't
won consecutive back-to-backs. In the NFC East.
Nobody has.
So, no one.
There's
so,
some good Cowboys teams. The Giants won 2 Super Bowls in that stretch.
So, that should
tell
you.
And didn't win back-to-back NFC
that
East.
That should tell you that, look, things can be different next year. Now, people go, oh, yeah, they had some fluky wins last year. You know what? Flukes normally happen once. It don't happen week after week after week. So, it's something about how they work, how they prepare, and their belief in number 5. That makes those guys feel they can close out game. I think I forgot who it was where they said it last year. They said,
Biotish.
When we get the game late, we know we can win because of 5. That's a hell of a belief to have in your signal caller.
48 wrote that story about the luck matrix that the data scientist put together. And he asked Biotish, you know, do you believe in luck? And he said, I believe in 5.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, but that aspect right there doesn't seem to happen. But people will give that a lot of credit and credence. I think then we'll go back to 17. Hell, when games went down the stretch at the end, how many times they went at 17 and he came through for you?
Yeah.
He has a clutch gene as well, dog.
For sure.
But I just think that, like, if people are thinking that the Commanders can be the team to beat, I don't look at that as oh, they crazy. I think they got a point.
I do, too. Philly's really good, but they lost a lot, lost the OC, lost some key pieces on that defense. They did bring Bond back. They did add more.
Yeah.
Philly's loaded, man, but, like, I don't think we need to undersell these dudes because Philly's loaded, and I don't think it's I don't know, man. If you look down the stretch – the Saints game went down to the wire. The offense was terrible in the second half. They couldn't run the ball at all. The O-line just got their ass kicked in that game.
Yep.
The Eagles game, 5 turnovers. I get that Hurts went down, but Washington turned that ball over 5 times.
But they were still there.
Right. They won the game. Falcons game, they win it late at home. Cowboys game, they win it late on the road. Big play for Terry there at the end. The Bucks playoff game, they win late on the road. Detroit, they thrashed. Now, Detroit was ravaged by injuries. That was a tough situation, right?
They beat Minnesota the week before.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, like, is Washington more the team that went to Cincinnati and then thumped Arizona in Arizona? Or are they more the team that lost 3 in a row in the middle of the season or just somewhere in the middle of that? And I think – I don't know. I think they're pretty good. When people ask me, I don't know if they're going to win the East. It's such a conference games, division games, rather, are so competitive, and all these teams know each other so well. But would I put it past them? Hell no.
Every time I'm asked a question, I always say, as long as they got five, they have a chance.
Right.
And I'll say this. I know there's the thing about, well, you know, the D coordinators get film, and they get to watch it, and next year they're going to be better. You know what Jaden Daniels does also? He gets better the next time he plays somebody. Okay?
They had tape on him for the second half of the year.
But what I'm saying, he's gotten better when he plays somebody. And when he makes a mistake, he don't normally make that mistake again. So maybe, just maybe, that virtual reality, it may be making him a little better and a little quicker than what those other people think. And they just can't keep up with it. So, I listen, man, every once in a while somebody comes along. I'm not saying he's that guy just yet. But he seems to have something in him that other people don't normally have, where he's, when you prepare for what he did, he's telling you, you need to prepare for what I'm about to do. Because he's not staying the same person over and over again. He's exceeding and accelerating his game and getting better at it.
Totally agree. He has great ones. You have to be athletically gifted, of course. You also have to have drive. To quote the great Doc Walker, you got to have that dog in you. Jaden's got it all day. Mm-hmm. Just because he's smiling and easygoing, he wants – what did Kobe always say? I want to rip your heart out when I get on the court.
Growing up, we had a German shepherd that would let you into the yard. He'd when you walk in the yard. When you got ready to come out the house, he wasn't letting you out the house until my dad gave him the sign that you were cool. And that dog is sitting there, and then all of a sudden my dad gave him that signal that you're all right, and then the dog playing with you again. That's Jaden. He's the happiest-go-lucky guy you're going to see. But in competition, he's going for your jugular.
I never met your father. Sounds like an intimidating man.
Yes, he was.
Nobody go anywhere. At 1 o'clock, you'll hear from Quan Martin. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fam. We're live out at Commanders Training Camp in Ashburn, Virginia. 6 days in. I want to go around the league, B, catch up on some stuff.
Let's go.
Let's start in Dallas, dude. Injuries are piling up for the Cowboys.
Yes.
Kalen Carson, cornerback for the Cowboys.
Didn't their receiver get rolled up the other day?
Yeah. So Carson hyperextended his knee. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. They already, their tackle, Tyler Guyton, who I believe was a first rounder last year. That's a big kid out of, I want to say, Oklahoma. He's out 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured bone and a sprain in the right knee. Injuries are piling up in Dallas, man. And it's, I'm not. Listen, man, you never want injuries. I know everybody hates Dallas, but you don't want injuries, especially this time of year. And that's just – I mean, that's a lot going on for the Cowboys with a first-year head coach. Jerry's doing everything he can to alienate Micah Parsons. Like, it's just kind of a wacky situation down there, don't you think?
It is. But it's Dallas.
Right.
Well, I'll leave that one.
Other injuries today – Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs. Andy Reid said he banged his head.
That mean concussion?
It could. You know, Hollywood Brown had a lower leg thing with the Chiefs also. You know, that kid Worthy looked really good for them, but then missed some time. That's a team that has not spent at wide receiver, and at least last season, I think it hurt them a little. They didn't have much in the pass game last year.
Dallas, they didn't.
No, I'm saying Kansas City.
Oh. KC, they didn't have any. You had both Worthy and Woods coming a little hurt throughout the season. We had a guy that wasn't in shape, as he normally is, in Kelce.
And he's owned that.
Yeah. So and that was your number one receiver for years.
Right.
And then he comes in not healthy, it's going to be hard. And the offensive line wasn't great.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the KC situation is interesting. You mentioned this earlier, Christian Gonzalez for New England, the stud young corner that has had injury issues in his time. He missed practice today. Maxwell Hairston, corner in Buffalo, has to get his knee checked out. Mm-hmm. And then circling it back to the NFC East, Malik Nabers had to leave practice today.
Because of?
Getting his shoulder checked out. Apparently he came down hard on his shoulder. Now, the reports are saying that he's okay.
Yeah.
But
as good as he is, he does have some awkward falls. You know, like some people can be athletic as hell, they just fall awkward every time.
Robert.
Yeah, but Malik is similar to that.
Yeah.
But Malik's a baller, though.
We've also gotten out in Cleveland, owner Jimmy Haslam. I'm not sure why today, but he decided to speak to the media. And he said, listen to this, tell me what you hear. Haslam on the selection of Shedeur Sanders. We have good process. We had a conversation early that morning, and then we had a conversation later that day. I think we had the right people involved in the conversation. At the end of the day, that's Andrew Berry's call. Andrew made the call to pick Shedeur.
Mm.
Is that the owner supporting his GM? Or is that the owner?
We don't know what this owner. He's different. Say it like that.
Definitely different. And then, obviously, there was the terrible situation at NFL headquarters where a deranged gunman broke in, and a police officer, I believe, was murdered, which is just
four
awful.
Four people dead.
I mean, that's just terrible.
I read the story that said that the guy was looking at he said he was looking, went there because he blamed the NFL on getting him CTE. He never played in the NFL, though. Think about that.
But the weirdest situation in the NFL is what's going on with Christian Wilkins and Las Vegas.
Greg, we're going to explain it for you. You just called and asked me to explain it for him.
To break down the story, we've got B. Mitchell Finley, I-Team reporter, Jeff Walker. Jeffrey, what the hell's going on with Wilkins in Vegas?
What's your investigation
conclude?
They said it was because of his foot. But I'm finding out he's a freaky shooter. He tried to kiss his teammate on the forehead, and his teammate reported it, and that's when they made the decision to let him go. I believe everything. Just go look up that man's name. He's been freaky since college. He got to stop. He got to stop because everybody don't move that way, and you're playing a game. Nobody wanna get tackled and feel someone rubbing on him, let alone a grown man. It's crazy. He need to get it together.
What do you think happens here, Jeff? I think Wilkins has the NFLPA like appealing on his behalf because the Raiders are basically trying to void out a lot of the money they owe. And when Wilkins is playing well on the field, he's really good.
Yeah,
he was really good in Miami.
They need to fight for him because he can't just void out a contract just because like that.
Yeah, but you can't also be moving like that because you kiss any random
contract
man
is a contract,
in the street
dog.
Or any random person. That's a sexual assault case right there.
And like, that's something he has to deal with, but they can't void out that contract just because of that.
Yeah, because he signed it. It's weird, though.
Let's just say this.
I wish him the best.
The NFL is powerful.
Hold on.
Stop messing with that entity. You got a problem.
Our guy Greg has an idea. He said, tell Jeff to kiss B. Mitch on the head and see what happens.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good on that. I don't want to put my lips near any man.
Whoa, pause, dog. Act like you've never shared a blunt with somebody.
He put his lips on somebody else's lips by proxy.
That's different.
That's what I'm saying.
That is different.
That's what I'm saying. Florio got details on the Von Miller contract. You ready for the actual... It was reported to be $6 million with $4 million in incentives. You ready for actual numbers?
Go ahead.
Signing bonus, $3 million. Base salary, just about $2 million, $1,995. A per game roster bonus of up to $1.105 million. So per game, that's $1.105 million divided by 17. Mm-hmm. I'm not a math guy. Somebody can figure that out. This is where I find it interesting, B. Last year, Miller had 6 sacks. This year, if he can get to 7 sacks, he has a $500,000 incentive. If he can get to 11, it's $1.5 million total incentive. 13, $2 million. 15, $2.5 million. Now, what's interesting is I think, like, say he gets to 11, I don't think he gets the mill and the mill for 9 and the half for 7.
$67,000 a week. Pretty good. Roster bonus.
Pretty good. If he makes the Pro Bowls, $500K. If the team gets to the NFC Championship and he has 11 sacks, $700,000. If there's a Super Bowl win and he has 11 sacks, $700,000.
So if they go win a Super Bowl, he's going to make about how much?
It's also tied to his sack total. Yeah. If they win the Super Bowl and he has 11 sacks, he would make an additional.
If they win a Super Bowl, I'm going to suggest he has 11 sacks.
Right.
Let's be real about that. Are those 11 sacks just in the regular season? Are those 11 sacks go throughout the playoffs?
I'm guessing it's just regular season. I don't know.
Well, we win the Super Bowl, you should get it go all the way to me to get you to the Super Bowl.
If he goes to the Super Bowl, it's $700K plus 11 plus 1.5 for the 11. So that's what, 2.2 bonus?
You say 1.5?
1.5 plus 7.
Yeah, 2.2.
2.2. That's good money for Vaughn. Mm-hmm. He can roll out of bed in his house shoes.
Already got 3.
Rush the passer. Already got 4, basically.
Yeah.
So I think that's a pretty good, fair deal, honestly. $3 million guaranteed, then he starts making money once he plays. Doesn't the salary hit, the base salary hit as soon as he plays week one?
As soon as he makes the roster week one, before the game even come out. When they come out with that roster on that, what, Thursday, Friday, whatever it is, boom, his salary is there for the rest of the year.
So that's basically $5 million, and then the per games could be that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Von Miller, wealthy man, good at what he does. Nobody go anywhere. You'll hear from Quan Martin next.